Isn't it good to know that you're not running the race by yourself? Amen. So we showed this little clip tonight there and talking about scars. And Jesus, of course, he took our sin and he took those scars, those stripes on his body, and he suffered. And probably the most powerful thing is that he was actually abandoned. He was abandoned. And the abandonment was really not his to bear, yet he was abandoned, completely forsaken, the word says. And, you know, I think abandonment for any of us is the worst ending we could imagine. Do you agree with me? You're to be abandoned. No matter what anyone thinks, the pain that you feel deep inside from abandonment is probably greater than any other pain that you could ever feel. Because abandonment says, I don't need you, I don't desire you, I don't care for you, I'm no longer here to help you, I take no responsibility for you, I'm cutting you off, I'm not interested in you anymore. And that is a terrible, terrible place to be in. And the person who's been abandoned feels grief, and they feel, well, they feel abandoned. Probably one of the strongest emotions that we could ever feel is is that feeling of being left all alone. Isn't that right? You feel unworthy, insecure, and sometimes, you know, even if the person that thinks, well, I'm doing this for your own good, it doesn't make that any better in us. Isn't that right? So, but thanks be to God, in Hebrews 13:5, it says, for he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Amen. So, Jesus was forsaken, because we can read that in Matthew 27, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was forsaken on the cross that day so that we would not be forsaken, so that we'd never be forsaken, so that we would never be abandoned. And tonight, if we leave here just with that on our hearts, that he would never abandon us, that would be enough. Isn't that right? And if you have been in church over the last six or seven weeks, we've been talking about the covenant and the blood covenant. And we've been looking at this and the significance of the covenant, and that the covenant was sealed with the blood of Jesus. But there was one thing we didn't really touch on. And that's this. Has anyone ever heard of the phrase all-consuming sacrifice? The all-consuming sacrifice. You know, when Jesus went to the cross, everything that he was, everything that he had, he was marred and disfigured and all of these things. But he was, as a sacrifice for us, totally consumed and left alone. And there's a Hebrew word for burnt offerings. And when you start to look at burnt offerings and the offerings in the Hebrew language, it means to ascend or to literally go up in smoke. So we know, we looked at the covenant, didn't we? And they offered animal sacrifices. And when they offered these sacrifices to the Lord, the smoke that went up, the Bible says it was a soothing aroma to the Lord. Isn't that right? And I started thinking about this, and I thought, well, here are these sacrifices being offered, and the smell of the sacrifice, the aroma of the sacrifice was a soothing aroma to the Lord. And it began to occurred to me that when, because I've always thought in God's word in Isaiah 53, it says there, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. And I thought, how do I reconcile that? But God knew it was his good plan that Jesus went to the cross. And we think, well, did that please the Lord? Well, those sacrifices that were offered in the Old Testament pleased the Lord. Yet, his own son went to the cross, and the word says that it pleased the Lord. You know, and so it was not just a part of an animal that had been sacrificed in the past. It was the Passover lamb, which was sacrificed completely. It was all consumed. Jesus Christ was the Passover lamb for us. Not one bit of his life was left untouched. So he didn't make a little bit of a sacrifice or a part of a sacrifice. He completely sacrificed himself. And that's the power that we have here on Good Friday, to be here and to look at the cross and to think about that. And so, praise the Lord, the sacrifice was completely consumed. Amen. And he ascended to God. On the third day, he rose again. But everything, even his garments, the word says that the soldiers threw lots for his garments. So everything that he had, he was completely naked at the cross. And I want to just read a little bit of this out of Matthew 27 to you. It says there in verse 27, "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him, and they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews.' Then they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified. But as they came out, a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, they compelled him to bear his cross. And when they'd come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, the place of the skull, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. But when he tasted it, he would not drink. Then they crucified him. They divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, 'They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots.'" Amen. So, thank the Lord. He left nothing unfinished. At the cross, those were his final words: "It is finished." And he'd left nothing undone. He left nothing unfinished. That sacrifice, once for all time, was enough for the atonement of our sins, and for your sins. If there's anyone here tonight and you've never said yes to Jesus and asked him to be your Lord, or if you're online. And so this sacrifice, all-consuming, restored our relationship with a Heavenly Father that is precious, and a Heavenly Father that will never let us go and never forsake us. And so tonight, you know, on Sunday, it's great. You know, we've watched media in the past, and it's like Good Friday, and there's the rumble, but Sunday's coming, but the cross is our victory. That's a symbol of our victory. And Jesus took the hill. It was on Golgotha. And you think about the hill, the most strategic place to be is the higher ground. And so Satan, who thought he had scored a victory, in a way, Jesus was just elevated. "When I am lifted up from the earth," and that cross went into the ground, "I will draw all men unto me." Amen. The cross has become the most powerful symbol on the planet. Amen. And that's why the cross is powerful. And that's why the cross is defaced, turned upside down, mocked, discredited, because it's a symbol of us that follow Jesus Christ. Amen. And so the cross is powerful, and it's our place of victory. Amen. And thanks be to God, we now have the Holy Spirit with us. And so from the cross to the throne, and there he is until he comes back again. And if you've never heard that before, then I want to say tonight, Jesus is coming back again. He's coming back again. Amen. And I want to give you some more encouragement before I close this wee message here. In the way that we can identify with Jesus and the cross tonight, it says in Romans chapter 6, verse 5, "If we've been united together in the likeness of his death, we'll also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. Amen. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives unto God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And in verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so, if you want to add a confession to your profession every day, here's one you can add. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And add that onto your daily confession sheet. Amen. And you'll find that in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Amen. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. We need faith. No one can come to the Lord unless they have faith in his Son. Amen. And then as you give your life to Jesus and you move on, and what does the Bible say? Faith pleases God. And so, and God is, when God is pleased, he rewards. And so look out for that reward. Amen. Here's the last verse. And if I could just ask the team to come up just now. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Thank you for joining us today. For future content, please subscribe. And if anything spoke to you or was relevant to you, please leave a comment. If you want to find out more about the church, how to support the ministry, or connect with us, then go to bridge-church.com. So until next time, thank you for joining us, and goodbye.